Okay, now, beginning of Vayikra just says that Hashem called to Moshe and then spoke to him from Ohel Moed. Now, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it, but we're going to see that what the message over here is and what the repetition is. It says, it said Hashem called to Moshe, and it doesn't say Hashem called, just Vayikra el Moshe. Then Vayidaber Hashem, the Hashem Havaya spoke to him from Ohel Moed. So before we're going to come and try to explain that, we're going to talk a little bit in general terms, like we do all the time. And then we're going to come to our Pasuk. So we start out with the introduction of Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai, Pasach. He opened up, when he spoke about Vayikra, he started with the following. Pasach that should be familiar to us, Baruchu Hashem Malachov, the Malachim of Hashem should bless him. Now who are the Malachim of Hashem? The word malach, will see that there are different malachim, not only in Shamayim, there are various levels of malachim. We'll see it goes beyond that, but I don't want to give away too much. So the malachim of Hashem are told, bless Hashem. Who are you? Now there's a repetition. Gibore choach osei devoro. Those who have strength or courage, the courageous of strength, who implement the word of God. Now, who are the malachim? There's a little bit extra. It says, Gibore choach osei devoro. So they're following Hashem, they're blessing, they should bless Hashem, and the malachim should bless Hashem. So the question is, who are we talking about here? Who are the malachov? And who are Gibore Choach? Is that an explanation of who the malachim are? Or is it someone else? I don't know. Then there's a different pasuk right after that. Baruchu Hashem called Svav. Hashem, all of the hosts of Hashem should bless Hashem. So who are we talking about here? That's what we're going to encounter as a question here. So the Midrash asks, Bameh HaKosov Medaber, who is the Pasuk referring to here with at least Malachov and perhaps also with Gibore Choach, as we'll see further? Im Ba'el Yoinim HaKosov Medaber, if the Torah is talking about the Malachim that are high up, the ones that are in Shamayim, if that's who we're talking about, Havalokvar Nemar Baruch Hashem Kol Svav. It already says, all of the hosts of Hashem should bless him. That's another pasuk right next to this pasuk. So, who are the malachim? If they're the malachim of heaven, they're already mentioned in a separate pasuk. So ha'inoi midaber ela batachtoinim. But it's talking about those who are tachtonim. There are malachim of Hashem down in the bottom. Bottom meaning in this world. Who are they? So the Matnas Kahuna tells us the tzaddikim are called, or that there are tachtonim, Matnas Kuna just says, are called malachim and shaluchim. Really, the word malach means a shliach. They are the emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he sends them to Olam Hazeh to do what he wants. Now, who are they? So they are the tzaddikim, and that Marzav explains a little bit more, that he says, I don't need the posuk, this is rule 20, of the 32 rules of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And this rule is very commonly used throughout Chazal. Imeino inyan loy, teneyu inyan l'sheinoy. If I don't have a posuk and I don't need it for itself. Meaning this posuk I don't need for the malachim in heaven because I have the other posuk, Baruch Hashem Tzvav. Kol Tzvav. I have a pasuk about the Malachim, so I don't need this pasuk also for the Malachim. Therefore, I use it for something else. And that something else are, who are they? So the Marzav explains that they are the tzaddikim. You don't need it for the elyonim, teneu inyan l'tachtonim. Who are they? Him hatzaddikim, shem malachov giborei choyach. Those are his malachim of great strength. What is their giborei koyach? So the Marzav explains, shem iskabrim al yitzram lasos dvaro. They overcome their inclination, the yitzer hara, they overcome, so that they'll do the will of God. Now, once you explain it that way, that actually explains also, the Gemara says that it talks about those who are landowners in Israel and who observe Shavuos. They observe the Shemitah year, that the Gemara says in Kiddushin, also about the same posuk of Giborei Koyach, Oisei Devoro. That it says another drash also that in Shabbos that we were osei the malachim are osei devoro, they do the word of God lishmoa b'kol devoro, which is actually about the malachim themselves. But I mean within the context that of drash that this part of the pasuk or this pasuk refers to human beings who are down here, they're called giborei koach because they overcome challenges. And that's what makes a tzaddik into a tzaddik, is the overcoming of challenges. Now, in that case, it's understood that the Gemara also makes a similar drash, as I said, by those who observe Shemitah year. It's a huge challenge, leaving a field fallow entirely and not working on the field for the Shavuos. Big temptation to try to get away with doing a few little stunts and working the field when no one is watching or when no one can see. I'm in the middle of somewhere. No one is shooting a drone at me, and no one has their radar on me. And I'm going to try to get away with something, but I don't try. Maybe I could, but I don't try. So that fits in with what that drash there in Shabbos about those who observe Shavuos fits into the Marzav's explanation here very well. Now we're going to see what the extra posuk is about, although we've given away a little bit about it. But Elyonim, the Midrash continues, the Malachim who are up high in heaven, and I'll add a little thought to what he says. Now, the Malachim are closer up to Hashem. They have a greater idea of what's going on in Shamayim than we do. Not only do they have a greater idea, they have a great idea and we don't. We're down here. They're up there. They're near the action. However, that gives their avoda a greater limitation than ours, because they were created to be up there. They're created in a situation where they're not challenged. We are challenged. But any creation that Hashem decided to create that's up in Shamayim as a malach is never challenged. They're going to do exactly what they are, for lack of a better term, programmed by Hashem to do. So Elyonim, the ones who are up high in the heavens, the Malachim, al yedei shehen yecholim lamed b'tafkidov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since they are able to always stand or to implement whatever tasks Hashem has assigned them to do. So there it says, Baruch Hu Hashem kol tzvav. Blessed are Hashem, all of his hosts, all of the forms of Malachim and levels of Malachim that Hashem created and that are in the heaven, each and every one of them is blessed because they all accomplish exactly what they are meant to do, exactly what they were created to do. However, we are challenged. We have a Yetzer Hara. We have certain temptations or attractions that might not be the right thing, but we are challenged. Aval tachtonim, but those of us that are on the bottom in this world, each of us is a malach, meaning each of us is a shliach of Hashem. However, whether we will expedite Hashem's shlichus or to what extent we will successfully expedite it is not so simple, because Hashem didn't create us in a way that program does. He made us very open, very prone to challenges and prone to failure very often. So, tachtonim, al yidei sheinam yecholim lamod b'safkidov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since they are not able. Now, what does he mean they're not able? It doesn't mean literally we're not able. God wouldn't create us to do things if we're not able to do them. But what it means is that it's not an automatic ability. One has to overcome challenges in order to be enabled to expedite what Hashem wants. So the yecholim is you can do it naturally. It's like I'm yochel to say to know that 2 and 2 is 4, but if you give me something in calculus, I'm not able to know it unless I train, unless I do what I have to do, unless I take time off from other things to focus on it. Then I'll get it. That's what the yecholim, the able and lack of ability. Lack of ability here means doesn't mean I don't have any capacity to do it. It means it's not second nature, it's not automatic. So the tachtonim aren't automatically programmed to expedite, to complete the tasks that God puts on them. We've got to work on it. And the result is not everyone is able to do what Hashem wants them to do. Not all of us fulfill Ratzon Hashem. I'm sure everyone present company besides one of us is excluded. But there are a great many in the broad world who do not fulfill what God wants, unfortunately. L'chach nemar, therefore it says, Borchu Hashem malochav, Hashem's malochim, Hashem's emissaries should bless Hashem, but it doesn't say kol malochav. As it says, kol tzavav, the word kol, all of them, is not there. We, members of the human race, are all malachov of Hashem, but not all of us are borchu. Malachim, that are the tzavav in heaven, all of them are borchu. By us, not all of us are borchu, v'loy kol malachov. So that's what he has here. And who are the ones? So the Marzav adds, those that are the choice of the Malachim of Hashem in this world, which are the Tzadikim who are most complete, HaTzadikim HaYoser Shleimim. So they are the ones that are the Malachim that bless Hashem. And he gives an example. Actually, this will be in not this coming Haftorah, but it'll be in Shabbos HaGadol. Pasuk by Malachi that he brings here. It says, Kisif Seichoyen Yishmeru Das, Vesera Yevakshu Mipio, Pihu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakosu. That it says that the lips of the Kohen will observe the knowledge of distinction of Das, and Torah, they, meaning the people, will be sought. The people will seek Torah from the mouth of the Kohen, because he is a Malach Hashem Tzvos. He is a Malach of Hashem, which means what? There's a famous drash in a few places in Talmud Bavli that Im Harav Doimel Malach Hashem Tzvokos Torah Yevakshu Mipiu. If the Rav is similar to a Malach, they'll seek Torah from him. But im lav, if not, they won't seek Torah. So those who become the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, the great disseminators of Torah, who develop Talmidim, are similar to a Malach. Now, the Marzav says they're similar to a Malach, that these individual tzaddikim are similar to a Malach in their kedusha and in their strong desire toward God, and in their modesty. And and the Marzav also suggests that this is a suggestion that this can also be learned for a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that because sometimes he is also he's also considered or called a malach in one pasuk. We might see that soon in the next rendition of who the malachim might be. But right now, it seemed to be, relatively speaking, individual tzaddikim who entirely fulfill the will of God over here, but not everyone, just certain people. Now, Dovar Acher, we have another interpretation as to who the malachim in the Pasuk in Tehillim are. Baruch Hashem Malachov, the malachim, his malachim bless him. Hashem's malachim bless Hashem. Who are they? Nikru ha-Nevi'im malachim. The Nevi'im are called malachim. And he brings a posik that is in Parshas Chukas, when Bnei Yisrael were going through the desert and they wanted some food and water from their cousins. Who was it again? Moav. They asked the Moavim, and the Moavim refused them. But they sent a message to Moav, and part of the message was that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It says, "Vayishlach Malach, Vayotziyenu miMitzrayim." Hashem sent a Malach, and he took us out of Egypt. Now that Malach, by in context, is Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have a Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, called a Malach. V'chi Malachoya, says the Midrash, was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim at that time a Malach. The Torah doesn't talk about a Malach, we talk about an emissary. V'alo Moshe Hoya, was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So v'loma koreyose Malach. Why is Moshe called a Malach? Lest I heard Moshe's a human being like the rest of us. Why are you referring to him as a Malach? I mean, much greater than the rest of us, but still a human being. So Elo, rather, it teaches us Mikan. From him, here we learn Shehamalachim. I'm sorry, Shehanaviim Nikraim Malachim. Neviim are called Malachim. Now, you might ask, maybe only one Navi, maybe the Navi of all Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, was called a Malach. How do I know that this projects to other Nevi'im that they are also called Malach or Malachim? So he shows you that. Uvdechavosayu, I will show you a similar place where someone, a Navi, but not Moshe Rabbeinu, is also referred to with the designation of Malach. Okay, so that was my gears, not my publisher. I said it inadvertently. That was inadvertent. I also have the Chavasei. I didn't realize that I even said the Chavasayu. See, I'm not paying attention. Udachavosei. So what does it say? A similar thing. Vayal Malach Hashem min Hagalgol El Habochim. A Malach Hashem had ascended from the Gilgal to the Bochim. That can either be a place that's already in Midrashim, there's Stei Bochim. It can be a place. It can be a place because of crying that took that occurred there. But it wasn't a Malach. V'chi Malach Hoya? Wasn't a Malach. V'alo Pinchas Hoya? It was Pinchas. So, Ulama Koyre Yosei Malach? Why is Pinchas called a Malach? Pinchas is a human being. So, Elo, rather, the reason is, Omar Rabbi Simon, because Pinchas was greater for a different reason. B'shosh shahoysa ruach hakodesh shorah olav Hayuponov Boyaros Kalapidim, when Pinchas had a contact with Ruach HaKodesh, the Ruach HaKodesh was dwelling on him, so his face would illuminate or literally burn like a torch. So he also was called a malach. So here we have, it was a place, the Gilgal is explained in Marzav, was where the Mishkan was in the years of the Shoftim. And that was the place of Ohel Moed, and that's where Pinchas was located. The major Sanhedrin was there, and the Navi was there. So, and he brings the Psukim to show that, and that Pinchas ben Elazar was there. The Kohen Gadol was there. So basically, that is also a situation where you see that somebody who had Ruach HaKodesh, even if he might not have necessarily been a formal Navi, although Pinchas was Eliyahu, but here he says, since the Ruach HaKodesh dwelled on him at that time, he is called a Malach. That piece is written here. Now here we're going to see a reverse identification where somebody thought they were looking at a Navi and they were really seeing a Malach. Wow. So we start from, we make a Malach title into a Navi, and now we're going to make a Navi into a Malach. Going to see something a little different. The parents of Shimshon, right? Exactement. Oui, that's what it is. V'rabbonin Amri, the Rabbonin said, Ishto shel Manoach, who happens to be, as you said, Shimshon's mother, the wife of Manoach. Mehoiso Merislo, what did she say to Manoach? She said, Hine, behold, Ish Elokim bo Eli umareyu kamare Maloch Elokim. There was a man of God, a Navi came to me, but his appearance seemed to be like a Maloch. Kisvura bo Ishehu Navi. But Veino Ella Malach, she thought he was a Navi, where he was really a Malach. So here you have a reverse, but you see how interchangeable the two are, that when a Navi is doing his Nevuah, he can be very reminiscent of a Malach. So she knew about Nevi'im, and she said, oh, he had to be an Ish Elokim, because look, he looks like a Malach. Although the truth is, she thought that the Malach was a Navi, so that shows us, Yefei Tohar says, that a Navi looks like a Malach. Otherwise you don't. It's like if you have two identical twins, and you think that you're looking at one of them, and you're really looking at the other. So that's a similar, just to get a little bit of an understanding, it is similar to what we're saying over here. You have your concept of what a Navi looks like when the Navi is doing his Nevuah thing, his Ruach HaKodesh thing, and you know, so it's very easy to see a Malach and think that it's a Navi. If your first thought is, I'm seeing a Navi. You don't think first that you might be seeing a Malach. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is going to give us an interesting thought over here. And he's going to say that we'll see his wording and then we'll see how the Radal explains it. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Mi beisof shalohem nikru hanaviyim malachim. From their beisof, literally means their father's homes, their family. But it means because of their main task in life, which I might have referred to before, Nevi'im are called Malachim. They're called Malachim because of what their purpose is. And here, Radal in letter Gimel explains what's Iker Inyanam, what's the Beisav means their main Inyan, what's their main task in life? Shehu Shlichus Ledaber B'Shem Hashem. They are emissaries who speak in Hashem's name. So because of that, Nikru Malachim, they're called Malachim, Kloimar meaning to say Shluchei Hashem, the emissaries of Hashem. And he brings from a relative of his, Rab Meir Berlin, from Moliv, is not the famous leader of the Mizrahi, because the Radal was quite a few generations before that, so it's a different... He says, Sher Besori, my cousin, Rav Moharar Meir Berlin, he wanted to say that the Beisav here means that this is the foundation of every drasha that is going to equate the term Malach to a Navi is based on what we're going to say over here, which is a pretty straight way of looking at it. Hadohu Dichsiv, that's what it says. Now, this was in Chagai. At the beginning of Chagai, there's not that much more after that, but Chagai was one of the three of the last Nevi'im. And he, as the other two of the last Nevi'im, prophesied, or at least the prophecies that are recorded in the Tanakh, are from the beginning of Bayisheni, when they were trying to make the second Beis HaMikdash. There were internal problems and external conflicts, and Haggai basically had a message. Hashem just said to him, you do and I'll be with you. So in Haggai, it calls Haggai, Vayomer Haggai, Malach Hashem, Bimalachos Hashem. It's or b'malachus Hashem. He is a malach Hashem in the malachus of the, or in the expedition of God. He's there to do the shlichus of Hashem. Ho ad al korchach atolamid. Here you must say it's compelling to learn. Shemi base of shelohem nikru hanaviyim malachim. That from their base of, their basic integral composition, once they are already malachim, that means that, Nevi'im, that they are basically Nevi'im, they are called malachim, because they're doing the shlichus of Hashem, and that also explains why they might resemble malachim once they are doing their thing, once they are saying nevuah.
Based on, is a little slightly similar to the user.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. That's what the Radal here says. He doesn't use the word binyanav, but that's basically, yeah, he does actually, uferusho. He brings in the parentheses of the Radal that I was even referring to in Gimel, that he said that it's based of shelohen, meaning uferusho binyanav shel kol adrasha sa'ilitz. Mamish, what the Radal says. Yeah, very good. Very true. So, and he even goes so far, the Yefei Tohar says, the main stigma of the word Malach goes both on Malachim in Shamayim as well as on the Nevi'im. So the word Malach is as much an angel, like we might say in English, and as much as it is also Navi. You have to make a little equation on the board. Malach equals, or if you want to make a little Webster's of Lashon HaKodesh, so you'll have two definitions in your entry for Malach. Definition one is a Malach of Shamayim, what we would call an angel. And definition number two would be a Navi. That's what comes out. That's the way the Yefei Tohar would explain it.
Can we just say that the Navi, because he's, obviously the angel doesn't have free will, But the person has worked himself to the point where he's reached the point where he doesn't have free will either. So he's become that's what makes him a Malik.
Yeah, there is such an explanation given. It's very, very, very emistic what you're saying. There is such an explanation that a person can work himself to a level that everything that he does is already automatic, what Hashem wants, and he's no longer challenged. The Gra in his Sefer, what's the name of his Sefer? But it's a Sefer. He has like a Musar type Sefer. I don't think he wrote it, but Talmidim wrote it. But in that Sefer, it also says there that there are people who develop themselves so much doing the will of Hashem. He says the Lashon, Adche Nitzol Min Hayitzer Hora Legamrei. Oh, Evan Shlema, the Sefer Evan Shlema. Evan is Eliyahu Ben, and then Shlema, Shlomo. So that's the Sefer they made from the Gra. I don't think he wrote it, though. Evan Shlema. But it says there's such a paragraph, as you're saying now, that a person can rise to such a level until he is entirely Nitzel, which we would say rescued, but basically, according to Rashi, Hatzola means being separated. He'd be separated entirely from the Yetzer Hara. So there is such a level, but I did see it more directly on what you're saying, that a person can work himself to the level that he's no longer challenged by Yetzer Hara. Although in some Chazals you wouldn't know that, but you know, there are those who are constantly the Yitzhar Hara constantly challenges them, but there are others who come to a level where the Yitzhar Hara has to submit. Now we come to something that I pointed out before that fits in with what the Marzav said, that Gibore Koach refers to the ability to overcome the Yitzhar Hara. And for that reason, the tzaddikim can be referred to as malachim of Hashem. So that doesn't necessarily say what we've been saying, that they're entirely transcended the Yetzer Hara and they're entirely separated from it. But they do their thing in spite of the initial challenges or the ongoing challenges of the Yetzer Hara. Yeah, so anyway, here he's going to talk about what I mentioned about Shemitah. It's from the Gemara in Kiddushin, but here the Midrash also brings it. Gibore choyach oisei devaro b'meh hakosuf medaber. Here he's asking, what is that posuk of Gibore choyach talking about? Who is it talking about? So Rabbi Yitzchak talks about people who are extremely challenged. B'shemrei shvi is hakosuf medaber. It's talking about the Shemitah observers. Now he brings a little bit of a mushel. And with that, I think it's already time to stop. Maybe we'll leave that for tomorrow, God willing.
It's interesting that the Gra wrote Evan Shkosser wrote a prosthetic.
That's right. Put it together like that, but that's so true.
Can you translate?
The Torah mentioned the same breath. He mentioned a stone for weighing. To be honest, in business dealing, you should have an Evan Shalemba, and not a phony one. And he also mentioned Ephod Sedek, because Ephod is a weight of a grain of volume.
It's all in one pasuk.
He wrote the one safer with that title. He also wrote Hagohus on the Tough Tome Dations. On the Makulta, which is called Eifas Sedek, a righteous measure of volume.
You have a different type, and a contemporary Rav Avadia Yosef has two series of Svarim and Halacha. There's Yabia Omer and Yechavedas. Yom Liyom.
Rabbi Shimon, I guess, quoted from the
Yabia Omer.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, I wasn't there. But no, we see. We're close. Can I ask you a question about Torah?
No,
you helped me last week. Rob had a bunch of questions, but yes. Yeah, one last question I forgot to ask you.
when a group is around you that's of the after. That's the heart, okay? But that's not really the main issue, what the Torah's teaching was about, the whole incident of the sad, and it happened. Then sometimes the Torah leaves it out not to openly write a total indictment on the Klal Yisrael. It writes the basic problem as a whole of what went wrong and what the responsibility we bear and what the consequences are. So Hor's death really doesn't impact on any of that.
Can we infer that everybody should have been like Hor, though? I mean, should we have all been like Hor?
Well, theoretically, you can say that only God can conclude that. Yeah. I can't say. I
mean, what would have been the correct response? I mean, I'm a little bit...
That's the Hegel?
Yeah, would have been to have gone...
Well, it was a minor amount of the Eruv Rav.
Sure.
It wasn't everybody. And the response would have been, Moshe said he's coming back. Let's wait for him.
Ah, so instead of being confused.
Right.
So there was no action, no mice that they had.
Excuse me, Rabbi Gary.